Hey there, RonnieTube fans. Sorry this one took so long, and maybe it should have been two videos, but here it is. It's done now. So let's go back in time to December 2024. Oh, hey there, folks. Ronnie Romance here. And today we're going to talk about photography and bicycle photography. Cameras, simple ways that you can become a better Instagram, Strava, and blog photographist, and the art of freezing time. Okay, before you get all tangled up in your bike britches, I'm gonna be straight with you. This video is all about photography, but bicycle-based photography. So the informative and up-to-date news that you can expect from this video, the cameras that I prefer to use for on-the-bike photography, I'd say that 90% of the photos I take, at least 1 foot is on the pedal. The other 10%, I'd be stepping off of my bike, leaning my bike up against something, and taking a picture of my bike. And the final piece of the puzzle, how I edit those photos and make them, dare I say, vibey. And we're also going to go through my cameras and lenses and etc. and why I like Ricoh and Fuji systems. Also, why I don't shoot film anymore. So come with me on an amateur photographer's point-and-shoot journey.
Okay.
So a little background on my photography journey. I got really into taking photos on bike rides. This is in the early 90s and throughout college. I would take photos when we'd be out on rides, stunting, having fun. I just wanted to show off to my friends in the Northeast that I was riding some sick shit out in Colorado.
It's really the birth of Ronnie Romance.
Oh, wow.
I would take photos with a point and shoot that I would have with me, have them developed. I'd scan them and then put them up on a blog. It's funny because when Instagram came around, that was basically what it was. It was like a little photo blog. And so I was able to, I remember seeing Instagram for the first time and being like, oh, yeah, I could do that. Started just taking photos on my iPod Touch, uploading to Instagram. There weren't many people on Instagram at that time. And my followership really took off after a bicycling magazine article and Business Insider thing nearly 10 years ago now. So I needed to step it up a little bit. Needed to start using a nicer camera and having some nicer images. Cell phones were getting better that people were looking at this stuff on, and I was just having a really good time taking photos. So I started doing a lot more research on cameras, started buying cameras, started getting into film photography, all the stuff that those late aughts influencers were doing at the time. Here I am kind of still doing a lot of the same stuff, but it's turned into businesses for me. And now this YouTube that you are watching, hopefully. Are you watching still? So yeah, just more and more I wanted to get into taking photographs and making my bikes look pretty, and a lot of product photography with the stuff that I've been designing and selling and making over the years. So, you know, all of this has come together and really making this skill worthwhile for me. And I've done a lot with it, and I really, really enjoy it. Not a single bike ride goes by that I don't take photos. And so I almost look at the bicycle as a vehicle to get me out and take photos at times. So, you know, it's combining the two together for me is very natural. I really love looking at the, the rough stuff archives and everything, and a lot of the pass hunters, and they've all got their camera dangling around their necks, bicycles and cameras, they really, really go together. And also, if you think about it this way, the bicycle you could trace to the modern automobile, the camera you could trace to the smartphone. These are like the first forms of what shaped our modern, for better or for worse, our modern worlds. I find that really fascinating. The camera and the bicycle. Boy, oh boy, the places they would end up taking us. You know, think about that. Cheers to the precursor of the modern world.
Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Who's the most sensual cyclist of them all?
Yeah. Get in there. Oh, shit.
All right, let's start in the camera cabinet here. Here we go. We've got camera bodies, lenses, microphones, and combustibles.
Okay, where should we begin? If you follow me on Instagram or on Strava or FetLife,
yeah, most of the photos that I've taken are with one of these two Ricoh GR cameras. One is a GR2 and one is a GR3 Ux. I go back and forth. I like them both. The difference between the normal and the Ux is focal length. You'll notice the normal on the left and then the Ux on the right. Both cameras have different perspectives. Depending upon what perspective you like, you can use that perspective. It's a free country.
These are cropped sensored cameras. They're still 24 point something megapixels. So it's a very high quality image, and you could tell in the images that they're just a lot. There's a lot more information in the file that you could bring out and adjust and post-processing. Anyway, what was I saying? All right, 18 millimeter, it's a crop sensor, so it's really a 28 in full frame, if you're at a full frame being like a film 35 millimeter camera. That's full frame.
So in the world of digital cameras, you got your medium format, your full frame, and your crop sensor. The bigger the sensor, the heavier, more expensive the camera is going to be. The larger the frame and format, the more light and detail is captured in the final image, however. This is great for the professional billboardist, Ansel Adamist, who famously used a even larger format. Also for birdophiles and fashion photographers. The crop sensor is king for hobbyists, though. Anything more is overkill, in my opinion. You get more focal length for the size of lens that you're using with that crop sensor. The whole system gets to be a lot more compact, which is wonderful for the cyclist because we're carrying these cameras with us, folks. Speaking of crop sensors, the very popular Fuji X100 series is a crop sensor. A great camera. Look how tiny it is. Fits in your hand. But you know what's even tinier? The GR, baby. I mean, look at that difference. I mean, it's significant. So, I like this camera all right, but, you know, for bringing a lightweight camera with me on a ride, it's the GR all the way, baby. My X-Pro 3 here, you see it's, I mean, if you're going to go a little bit bigger than the GR, you might as well just go with the big boy, you know. And if you'll notice, all of these cameras and lenses are fixed lenses, as in there's no zoom.
Fixed lenses are nicer than zoom lenses. You're just going to get nicer glass in those lenses.
With a lower aperture than you'd ever get on a zoom lens. You know, you're not going to get an f1.2 on a zoom lens. So that's going to be, you're going to be able to shoot at lower light and get that
subject separation
in your bike and people portraits.
The really nice thing about these big sensored pocket cameras with these nice lenses is that you have a 2.8. That is your f-stop, your aperture. So that's a something you could, you can get a little background bokeh with that, bokeh, bouquet, with that. That means the creamy background, the separation between subject and background. You can still get that with a 2.8. The lower your f-stop, the lower the number, the f-stop, the better image separation you're going to get between subject and background. You could also shoot in lower light with that because it's essentially just the lens opening wide open, opening up, letting more light in.
But Ronnie, what about zooming in?
So you could still do that with these because of the big sensor, you just crop it.
You know, you could just crop. You don't need to zoom.
There's your zoom right there, folks.
On my rides, I could just take these out. They have no viewfinder there. Both of them just have the screens back there. So it makes it real easy just to no one ever feels like this. Well, you feel it right now, but you know, a camera this small, you could be really inconspicuous with. You have something like this comes out, and people are like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, something like this, you're like, pocket, carry on. So great for street photography also. That's what I think most people use these for.
And when I'm using this Ricoh, I'm shooting in P mode. That's priority mode. Now on these cameras, the priority is ISO, however you want to say it. So just choose accordingly. Obviously, if it's bright sun in the summertime, no shadows, you're shooting ISO 100. You know, if you're shooting in some dappled light in the summertime, ISO 800 is a nice one. Of course, if it's indoors, you're pushing up into the higher numbers here. You're going to get a lot of grain and noise in the photo. It's not great. I usually use my iPhone when it's up this high because it has that special long exposure setting. So just leave it on P. Mess with the ISO, and that's it.
Moving on. This is one of my other favorite cameras. This is a Fujifilm X-Pro 3, another cropped sensor camera, super high quality, 24 megapixels. This camera has a removable lens. I've got a lot of lenses in here, as you can see, all these lenses that I've collected over the years. I've really invested into the Fuji X-Mount system. This video is being filmed on a Fuji X-T4, so you're not seeing that camera. I like that camera enough. I don't really bring it out and about like I do my GRs or this X-Pro 3. I leave this X-Pro 3 with a 7 Artisans 35 f1.2. So I guess this comes out to be like a 50 in full frame? I don't know. Tell me in the comments how wrong I am.
Now with my Fuji cameras, I'm just leaving it on auto ISO, auto shutter speed, and I'm using aperture priority. So everything is calculated based on where I have this aperture ring.
And it's also really nice on the Fujis that all of the settings are right there in front of you to mess with. So, you know, you could shoot manual if you want to and really understand how every setting affects your finished image. So, great for learning, Fujis are.
You know, you don't need to know all this stuff to take good pictures, honestly. The technical stuff, you could really get into it. The finished product speaks for itself. Okay, what else do I have in here? You know, I've got a bunch of film cameras in here also. Of course, this. I've got a Pentax 6x7 somewhere that I don't know where it is. That's a medium format. That's a big camera. Boy, oh boy, does it take some beautiful photos, but I have not seen it since 2020. Shooting film was all a part of my photographic journey. I think it's an important skill to learn. It taught me personally how a photo should look in my edits, in my now digital edits. But I don't do it much anymore. I actually haven't developed a roll of film since before the pandemic, before the labs shut down. And most of what I use my photos for are Instagram, Strava, and my blog, which not many of you look at. So I just didn't think it was worth it, spending $1 to $3 per photo. And I just like the flexibility and workflow of a digital system a little bit better. But like I said, not that there isn't a lot to learn about the camera, about taking things slow and composing and understanding what all of the different functions do to the finished photo. I think it's very important. Not a total slam on film. Don't shoot much of it anymore. Do you? Let me know in the comments. I'd love to know everybody's thoughts on film photography and
really what you shoot with, you know? It's fun.
Hey there, folks. If you're enjoying this video, why not consider supporting my tire company, UltraDynamico.com. We make tires for just about everything. Grav, mountain bikes, road bikes, and all in really pretty packages, wouldn't you say? Well, why don't you head on down to Ultra Dynamica,
Fujifilm.com. All right, well, why don't we get into taking photos of our bikes? A little sunny out right now. We're gonna wait for the light to mute a little bit so we don't get less shadows. You know, you gotta wake up really early or you gotta get your shots right around dinner time, but I'm eating dinner at dinner time, you know what I mean? And really early, I'm just waking up, making my coffee and stuff, so, you know. Let's wait till this
sun goes away.
Our forecast for a little bit later today is nice and cloudy and muted, so that's perfect for taking bike portraits. So let's fast forward this day a little bit and get into that, shall we? I'm going to finish this cup of coffee and enjoy the sun first, though. All right, well, this is a little bit better. So now that we're switching over to bike portraits, this is not something that I have to quickly shoot off of the bike. I could be a little bit more slow and methodical. Could use a bigger camera with a longer lens. Doesn't have to be a point and shoot. It can be a point and shoot, but bike portraits look a lot better if you're using some nicer lenses, a longer lens. This right here is a 90 millimeter Fuji F2. This is my preferred bike portrait lens. As you can see, it's got a pretty good heft to it, but it's small and compact. You know, this is an equivalent of 135 millimeter in a full frame. Something like that could be about double the size. So it's cool that it's still a compact system. I can bring this out into the woods with me on a ride and get those shots. I don't have to bring a big camera bag or something like that. So this lens here, a longer focal length, you're really able to stack elements behind your subject. It gives it a pretty dramatic look.
And just flattens the background so it could rise behind you. Something that looks really cool in bike portraits, don't you think?
And now we are ready to take some bike portraits. So let's pick up a bike, bring it outside, prop it up, and let's get into that, shall we? Okay, what to choose? Well, I think I'm going to do the R-Works Evu here because we've got a few more of these to sell when they show up in a month or so. All right, so let's take this outside. Oh, okay, well, I changed my mind on the bike because I think a drop bar bike is better to use for an example. So let's start with the dead-on shot here first. I used to have a nicer implement to prop the bike up, but I can't seem to find it right now. So we're gonna go with the old standby, the found stick. Boy, the things they've used sticks for over the years, huh? All right, so
first things first, be sure you're in the big ring. You don't want to be showing off to people that you're piddling around in the granny gear.
People like to have their cranks, you know, parallel, or what do they call this? Yeah, in line with the chainstay, kind of like this. I know that's how Watson does it. I like to have it right about here. Everything I'm showing you today, I read in like a Rivendell reader a number of years ago, and I found it very helpful. This day and age, John Watson of the Radivist, I think he takes the best bike portraits in the biz. All right, so I'm gonna take this stick and I'm gonna, right in that little notch there on the crank bolt. And you wanna get these bikes to stand up, you know, as close to completely straight up as possible. Another rule of the bike portrait is lining up your valve stems in some particular way. I'm pretty lax with that rule. Maybe I'm just lazy too and I'm trying to make up an excuse. But what do you think? I'd be curious to know in the comments. Does it look a little bit too staged when you have the valve stems lined up, or does it look perfect? All right, and I like to have that little bit, and then the pedal ever so slightly backwards also, so that it looks like you're about to just get on the bike and start pedaling.
Ooh, yeah, new Umbros.
Okay, and now I am going to switch lenses. So right now this is a 14, and we're going to go to the 90. And now this is the 90. Look at the difference there. Look at the separation between the background and subject. Look at that bouquois, that creaminess. All right, well, let's reposition this camera and go through some more tips. This is the most important tip I could share with you. We are trying, it's kind of hard to do with the tripod here, we're trying to make the far side of the handlebar disappear behind the front side of the handlebar. That I've got that disappearance of the backside of the handlebar, and that I'm also, this is more difficult with the tripod, and I'm also completely level here. Okay, there we go. I'm trying to get an even area between each side of the wheel and below the wheel. All right, are we achieving that disappearing act here? I think so. We're gonna make sure we're in focus. I always focus at the logo on the bike. You want the logo on the bike, you know, that's the, whenever you're in post and looking through your photos, if the logo isn't in focus, then you gotta retake it. And that's just a good indicator whether or not the frame is in focus. Take a deep breath and take the photo as you release your breath. I like to always shoot from a little bit lower, go for those details, and on and on and on. But this is the important shot. That head-on shot that shows the geometry of the bike perfectly. I like to think of this as the stance shot. How bad to the bone is your build? You also gotta love a nice dead-on geometric straight from the front shot there. I also wanna note, look what happens when I close down or stop down the aperture. Okay, so we just went from F2 to F16. So from one end of the spectrum to the other. You see how everything becomes in focus at F16? We lose that creamy bouquois. When I go the other way, back to F2, we've got it again, all right? Some say, it feels like you're at the eye doctor here, some say F5.6 is the clearest overall. That means from edge to center of the photo. So a lot of the times, that's what I'll leave my camera settings at when I'm just casually taking photos and want to make sure things look nice and clear. If you want everything to be in focus, generally F8 is where you want to be. This is kind of a nice one too, right? Because it looks like the bicycle is about to ride down the path, giving the viewer the feeling of being with you or being on this said bicycle riding down said path. It's whimsical, you know? For a shot like this, I'd probably go between F5.6 and F4. I want that, softness to the image a little bit, but I want a little bit more in focus than just the bike, or I want the complete bike in focus. And since we aren't taking a photo of this bike sideways, okay, in one dimension, one plane, it's maybe two planes. If I'm going F2, you see how the rear wheel is out of focus now. I want to stop down a little bit to get that rear wheel in focus, whole bike in focus. Make sense? Okay, folks, well, let's talk about RAW versus JPEG. Those are the two different file types that most nice cameras allow you to shoot. JPEG, of course, is a smaller file. RAW is a much bigger file. Namely, Fuji have settings on their cameras that allow you to shoot with a specific film simulation. There's also recipes online that you're able to like plug into your camera and make the image look exactly how you want it to look.
right out of the camera, and you have to do very little in post-production. Many people don't do anything. I tend to just kind of mess with the highlights and the shadows, but you can do that right in iPhoto on your phone.
For me, I like to shoot raw dog.
My workflow is a little different. I like to run all of my photos through Lightroom, Adobe Lightroom on my computer, or Adobe Lightroom on my cell phone if I'm traveling without my computer. It's just something that I've gotten used to each day after every ride. I know this may seem a bit excessive for most of what everybody is looking at this to do, but I found it to be very easy, and as easy as shooting JPEG. And I've got a larger file that I'm able to get more there's more information in that file in the highlights and lowlights. So I don't have to worry about getting the exposure just perfect. I'm able to mess with it more in post-production. And we're going to get into that right now.
Here we are at the old science table turned editing table. And so let's pretend I just gotten back from a ride, or in this case, I just finished shooting that bike that you just saw. Find my files and import. Just those three photos that we took down in the field there. Ordinarily, I'll take a lot more than just three, but this is just an example. All right, well, let's start with that dead-on shot. Okay, well, all right, let's go through this. So, these have just been imported. This is a raw file out of the camera. Now, the first thing I'll do is I've got a few presets in here. That can get confusing, but there are a few that I've starred. I like this one for springtime, really highlights the green. So just alone there. So there's without anything, and there is with one preset. Now I generally, from here, I'll kind of mess with the highlights slider a little bit till it looks right to me, and then the shadows. Now this is just all really done by eye, you know, you'll develop an eye. You could also look at the histogram, which is no longer here, but you could see that on your in your camera. And then I'm going to go down, and I like to mess with the clarity a little bit. That just kind of, so if I went all the way clarity, see that looks fake. It looks like a HDR image, you know, where the highlights and the shadows are a little bit too jacked. So just bring it back a little bit, 12, 13. Oftentimes I'll go big and then I'll kind of tune it down, you know. All right, and then I want to go in and I want to crop the image a little bit, okay, because we want to really make sure that we're seeing the most of the bike. Now remember, we want to keep that equal distance. It's just my personal preference. And we want to make sure that this bike is level. So you can see right here, we need to bring that front end up a little bit. There we go. Okay, I'm gonna bring this up a little bit more. Blammo, okay.
Next, we wanna get rid of these unsightly sticks here, you know? Well, that used to take a little bit of work, but now, with the power of AI, just swipe up on here. It's incredible what they can do with this stuff. And we're gonna throttle some servers and get rid of that thing. Let's see how quickly. Look at that. Now, this is really what you wanna know, how we get rid of the sticks. As easy as this. What stick? How much electricity did it take to remove that stick?
Our sticks have now disappeared. All right, what else? Well, sometimes I like to add a little vignette there. A little bit of vignetting. See, all the way in it looks like that. So just a little bit. I rarely go over 10, you know. I just like to close the veil a little bit. You know what I mean? Not bad. Maybe a little bit. This grain slider here. It's a little too much. Boost that down a little bit. Grain can add texture. It makes it look more film-like. You may be asking, why are you trying to make things look like film? Well, I think all of our eyes are trained to
appreciate a photo more if it looks more like the historical context of what a picture is. So I think that is the allure of film photography, the look of it. So there you have it. So let's look at it before our edits and after our edits. And then I'm going to export a small version to my ride photo export folder. And then it goes to my phone. Same go with this photo. I'm just going to crop it down. And I can take my edits from this photo, copy edit settings. Or I could simply make that a preset and paste it in. There we are. And now all we got to do is go in and take that stick out, you know? So pretty simple stuff. Doesn't take me very long, and it it's relaxing for me. Look at that, that's good. Okay, let's see, pre, post. Let's get that one out of here too, huh? Lastly, this come ride with me shot. Alright, so this one I really like to vignette. And I want to make this pathway here maybe a little bit more, a little clearer. So you can mess with this tool here, this brush, and just happy clouds, happy little patches of grass. Now, which way should we go with that? A little something we added there. Pre, post.
Now that we've been over how to use all that fancy stuff, the computer, the camera, the lens, the program, you may be wondering, Ronnie, I don't want to spend all that money and go through all that hassle when all I want to do is post a picture of my bike on Instagram or Strava. What should I do? Well, you could accomplish a lot of this just with your iPhone. And I'm going to show you how. Okay, so it's really bright out. It's about 11 o'clock, you know, and it's June. So the sun is pretty intense right now, but there's strange protrusions on the back of your iPhone. Well, this is what they're for taking better bike portraits with your iPhone. All right, so there you have it. I'm going to make sure that we are focused on the bike, and as you see, since we're using that 3x lens, I'm back far enough that I could, you know, position myself to the back side of the handlebar and lever disappear. So I'm gonna get this all level.
Okay, so there's that photo I just took. Now first I want to crop it
and check to see if it's lined up. Not, I know I need to get that just right. If anything, we want to be geometric here. Okay, and then, you know, get that nice even spacing around the wheels. Okay, looking good. Looking pretty good from this angle. You know, well, you want a little bit of headroom there. I like a little bit more headroom, meaning this space up here than what I've got down below. And I hit done there. I always like to bring the highlights down a little bit and bring the shadows up just a hair. Oh. Well, you can also make a sticker out of this, I guess. Let's look at that edit.
Well, not bad, but nothing like the fancy camera. I mean, it looks like a different bike altogether. Well, I took one in portrait mode. Let's see how this one edits out.
Oh, you mess with the depth of field here. Crazy. Yeah, I think that looks about, oh, look at that. All the way down to F4. Wow, that's, let's boost it. Artificial bouquois there. Maybe you'll ask me, why are you giving away all your secrets, Ronnie? Well, the better everyone's bike photos are, the better our entire internet experience is as a whole, as a community, don't you think?
Oh, there's that final edit in portrait mode. You know, it's they've got a little ways to go. It's definitely still a little funny between the top tube and the pump and around the spokes, but it's entirely passable. Good bike portrait.
The image quality, if you really inspect it, is a lot better with a dedicated camera as opposed to your phone. But, you know, if you're just sharing on social media, most people are just looking at those photos on their phones.
I have a blog, of course, that I hope you visit at least weekly. Come on.
Sometimes cell phone photos make it in there. I feel like the cell phone photo, the iPhone in particular, takes really cool photos at night, things that you just can't capture on most cameras.
You know, the Ricoh is a lot easier to grab onto, turn on, and just, you know, take the pictures right back in the pocket. Whereas the iPhone, you know, you gotta take it out, you gotta hit that button, and then you gotta kind of precariously hang on to it. And these things drop and it's catastrophic, whereas I've dropped that Ricoh countless times. It knows it, it remembers, but it still works.
Okay, that's it, that's it. Thanks for sitting through this. Hope you learned something and hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoyed and hope you learned something. I'll try and come back with something a lot simpler that takes me a lot less time next video that I attempt. So give me a like and subscribe.